This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We have the opportunity to bring in the vice president of the minor leagues and scouting for the Chicago Cubs. Jason McLeod joins us on Inside the Clubhouse. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're good. You know, as I was texting you last night to solidify that you were coming on the show, there was that ugly occurrence of another brutal loss. Internalizing it as a top executive for the Cubs and a baseball fan, how do you get your head around what's occurring there over the last couple of days?
Oh, man, it's tough. You know, you mentioned I got up, I walked outside this morning. It's such a beautiful day, and people are jogging, riding their bikes everywhere, and I'm walking around like a zombie out here, just trying to stomach what's happened the last couple of nights. It's just you can't even imagine it, even with the road woes that we've had, to lose like this in this fashion on back-to-back nights on this trip, and especially when you look at the pitching performances, outside of the Hamels start. I mean, you look at Q and Darvish, Hendricks, those three games they start, I think they gave up 2 earned runs in 20 innings, only allowing 2 walks in those 3 starts combined, and we're 0-3 in those games. It's really hard to swallow.
Jason, of late there have been a couple minor league guys who have been able to contribute. I mean, Kyle Ryan is a great story and a great find. Rowan Wicks, quick evolution with the breaking ball has been great to see. But overall, I would assume that you're disappointed with, not being able as a developmental group to provide Joe Maddon and the big league club with more bullpen options, more swing and miss options at the back end of the bullpen. Is that fair to say that you have some disappointment for not being able to give them quite as much as they need?
Yeah, I mean, I think that is fair to say. I mean, organizationally, we're not, certainly not, not happy with how things have gone for us in the pitching development as a whole. Especially in our time here, you would want as an organization to be able to keep supplying the team with pieces that will help them win. And I think we've had small wins here and there, but I'd say in total we're not happy at all with it. That said, I mean, we've talked about this, a lot over the years, with, what we've tried to do in pitching and certainly we've made a lot of trades at pitching. I think we've traded 9 or 10 pitchers out of our minor league system, to go get a Hamels or a Jesse Chavez or a Mike Montgomery and Quintana and those types of guys. But I think, we have definitely made strides over these last 2 years in particular. Our velocity is up across the organization. Our strikeout rate across the organization is up. And we do have, bullpen arms both in Tennessee and in Iowa who have taken big steps forward this year in terms of stuff and swing and miss. So in that regard, we're happy. But, in total, we would love to be able to keep supplying the team with guys that can go into the minor league system and get and help us win.
In looking back on the last 5-6 years of that, do you think it's a product of not finding those arms in the draft or not being able to develop them once you have raw talent?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think because of especially in the early years, and again, I understand that pitching comes from everywhere in the draft, so I'm not going to sit here and try to say, well, it's because we didn't take pitching in the first round early on in our tenure here. But the reality is, we didn't. We did focus on position players early on in the early rounds of the draft. And then I think you look at a year like 2016, when we didn't pick until the third round. I mean, that's 2 rounds of
right,
that we didn't even select, which is really tough when you look at now where we are in the minor league system. You typically would be having guys ready to make an impact on the team. And even though we didn't pick until the third round that year, I think when we look back, when it's said and done, 2016 is going to be a pretty good draft for us. But I think part of it was the selection process, first and foremost. But like I was just saying, I think we've really made big strides over the last couple of years with our implementation of R&D and some data-driven decisions that we're making. And then I think our pitching infrastructure has really stepped forward under Brendan Segar, our pitching coordinator, and some of the things that we've been doing over the last couple of years in particular.
Jason McLeod joining us, the vice president of scouting in the minor leagues for the Chicago Cubs on Inside the Clubhouse. Jason, the continued player development is such a head-scratcher. You have four guys from the 2016 World Champions that made an impact in Schwarber, Russell, Edwards, now traded, Almora, that have spent time in the minor leagues up and back over the last couple of years after that championship. You have Happ that started in the minor leagues for 4 months after hitting 25 home runs in 2017. How, in this era, as a director of the minor leagues and scouting, how do you get your head around the fact that player development at the major league level is so difficult to really quantify, and how difficult it is to really get a feel for who the player is that you actually have?
Yeah, Bruce, that's a good question. And, it's hard to put your finger on it with all of the information that's available to the players. And I'm going to say in a good and bad way, because there's information that other teams are using to attack the players and make adjustments to them. And like you said, we had guys that came up and made an immediate impact early on in their careers, especially contributing to that World Series championship. And then as we've gone forward from there, typically you would be expecting them, as they're coming more into their prime years, hopefully to keep improving. And I know Theo has mentioned a lot that that development isn't linear, and even when you get to the major leagues, guys will have their struggles. But we've seen some of our players for one reason or another have bigger dips in their performance, and we've seen that play out by having to send some guys back to the minor leagues to try to work on things, giving them a lot of information to help them become the best versions of themselves and get back to doing what it was that they were doing well. And certainly the league has adjusted to some of our guys, and we've had some of our players that haven't adjusted back yet, and certainly we're doing everything that we can without giving them way too much information. You certainly don't want paralysis by analysis, but at the same time, we would have hoped and expected our guys to not have some of the struggles that they've had in the last year.
It's so interesting, Jason. When we were growing up, most lineups would have the diversification of a few slappy guys up top and maybe at the bottom, and you'd have your boppers in the middle. Now I feel like so many hitters are being asked to do everything, like Anthony Rizzo can do, where you're swinging for the fences for your first two strikes, and then you're adjusting and having a B-hack, with two strikes and becoming more of a situational guy. And I feel like we're learning that it's just really hard to teach, say, launch angle slugger types to become situationally appropriate. Like, maybe that's just something that has to be found when we're scouting guys, as opposed to being able to be taught to guys. Is that a generalization, or what have we learned about this process here?
Well, I think we've learned that, I think hitters with all of the great technology that's out there and the coaching that's available, and we've seen guys make certain swing changes, whether it be to get the ball in the air more, to drive the ball in the air more. I think hitters have some innate tendencies about them. And generally speaking, you're not going to find too many guys that swing and miss a lot on their way up the ladder that suddenly aren't going to be swinging and missing too much. I think you have seen guys that do make a conservative effort with two strikes, like you said, whether it's be to choke up or take that B hack, to go up there and compete and to go up there and to fight to avoid the strikeouts, especially in situational hitting. But I think that, you know, the game itself too. I mean, you're looking at, you know, the 3-2 outcomes a lot. You know, with the walk, the homer, the strikeouts, and that's, you know, the era that we're in. Not that it's really enjoyable for a lot of baseball fans to watch that, but
right.
You know, certainly I think as we're in the draft, I think as we're in the international market or even post scouting, I mean, we all want to find guys who can control the strike zone for sure. But we're also in an era where players are trying to get the ball in the air more. Players are trying to hit balls in the seats and trying to put up the quick runs on the board. And I think that's something we're, you know, we're still trying to hone and develop throughout the organization of, you know, our organizational philosophy, of selective aggressiveness is one that we do try to do damage early, but we want to be able to compete with two strikes and not just take the strikeout.
So when you're watching Gleyber Torres, how much pride do you take and how much wincing do you do knowing that that brought you guys a world championship? And and I'm going to bring this up every 6 months or so when you do say you're coming on the show, because it's such a prideful thing to have a great player out there, but so difficult when it's not a part of your organization any longer.
Yeah, you know, it's I think a lot of us look at it with pride because of the, you know, the everyone that went into scouting him and went into signing him, and then for the couple of years he was here in player development. Yeah, the one thing that was really always impressive about him was his ability to stay behind the baseball and backspin the ball to the middle of the field, especially to right center field. And it's funny you brought him up. So I was just actually just looking back at some of our reports on him, even from his South Bend year. I think he hit maybe 4 home runs that year. But a lot of us had, you know, solid average power, game power grades on him because of the way he stayed behind the baseball and lofted it in the air and the hand strength. And just the determination he had, the character, the work ethic, you know, and even when he carried that with him the next year in the Myrtle Beach, you know, you have a lot of pride about it. You miss the person as well, because he was such a good kid and is such a good kid. And now you see what he's doing over there. You know, it's not surprising to any of us. Maybe a little bit with the power, but I think this year with the baseballs being as juiced up as they are, I think everyone's not overly surprised anymore. But you know, funny thing is with Brandon Hyde being such a good friend and him managing the Orioles and Gleyber,
jeez,
I don't know, having 17 home runs or whatever just against his team. I get to hear a lot about him, that's for sure.
Jason, we appreciate your time. We didn't even get to Horner and Alzolay and some of your fine prospects, but I know they're on their way. We'll get you on again before the year's out. Thanks from Matt and myself for coming on Inside the Clubhouse. We appreciate it.
Okay, guys. It was great talking to you. Thanks for having me.
Take care.
Thanks, Jason.
Jason McLeod, the Vice President of Scouting and Player Development for your Chicago Cubs.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.